Hello and welcome to episode 101 of Must See Matches. I am Kieran Lefort, and joining me as always, the man behind Must See Matches, Mark Buckley. Mark, how's it going?
You surprised me. I've only just actually started recording myself.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, all right. It's not my only recording fuck-up of the week. Let's have two.
Yeah, no, I'm good, thanks.
You're all right. Okay, excellent. That's the important thing out of the way. Got your catchphrase done. This week, we are talking about our highest-ranked tag match. This is joint fourth out of the 1,067 nominations we were sent. Mitsuharu Misawa and Kenta Kobashi versus Toshiaki Kawada and Akira Taue from June the 9th, 1995, All Japan Pro Wrestling, at what very much appears to be a sold-out Budokan Hall. We, of course, are All Japan idiots, so we have drafted in somebody who knows what they're talking about. And of course, we couldn't finish this series without one more visit from, and I quote, the loose cannon of must-see matches. It's the chairman of the Oswestry Street Wanking Club, Mudge. Mudge, how you doing?
I am doing all right. I'm also the technology king.
Oh, yes, you are. That's true, yeah.
So, yeah.
Listeners have missed your setup woes.
Yes.
But we have you.
Yeah, but I may lose my job as a result of this podcast, but I'm here.
Don't put that weight on us. I can't afford to employ you.
That wasn't me saying that. I was just saying I just want you to have the guilt.
Thanks. That's exactly what I wanted. Right. Well, let's get this. Let's get something out of this. If you're going up unemployed, when did you first see this match? And without going into specifics, why do you think it has ended up so high on our list?
Oh, it's because it's basically on your list because it is. Pretty much right from the start when it happened, it's the tag team All Japan match that everyone kind of knows about. Everybody, it's one of the first matches everybody sees when they get into it, whenever they get into it. And that's been the case for 29 years now. So it's got very, very easy heel face stuff going on. There's callbacks to other stuff in history, but you don't need to know that to enjoy the match a lot more than the others in there, because it's all very, very, oh, look, he's got a gigantic bandage on his leg. What's going to happen here? And yeah, it's just very, very understandable to people who have not come into this before what's happening and why. And Meltzer, I think it won Tokyo Sports Best Bet. I think it either won or came second in the Observer that year.
We'll get to that. I do that bit at the end. Yeah,
I know. But the point is, I think basically from the word go, it's been the, okay, right, you're getting into All Japan, you right, this is the match you need to see, okay, along with a few others. So I think generations of wrestling fans wanting more from their standard stuff who were told, okay, well, it's New Japan Juniors and All Japan Heavyweights, and that's generally where you start. So basically everybody's seen it, and it is so accessible, as well as having the big bombs and everything, that everyone just gets into it and enjoys it.
It's the gateway drug. It's the All Japan gateway drug.
Yeah, it's very much the free shot of heroin.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mark, am I right in thinking that until this week, like me, you hadn't seen this either?
Yeah. We are coming in complete, not blind, but we haven't seen this before.
This is the last match on the list that neither of us had seen before we got round to recording. Yes, it's one of those ones that has just sort of hung around for years.
I mean, there's one that famously I haven't seen and you have.
We'll get to that. Don't you worry. Yeah. Not long to go.
He's never seen Bret and Austin.
Never seen Bret and Austin.
Yep, give him the game away. But yes, he has never seen our number one ranked match, and is not going to, as far as I'm aware, until the week we record.
I can't imagine that. That's just so beyond my comprehension.
We take great joy in telling Matty Edwards that every time we see him, because it just blows his little scouse head.
Oh, my little Welsh head is well and truly exploded.
Mark, do you want to do a little rundown of how many nominations and whatnot all these various men got?
Yep. So, as you've said, this is our last All Japan match. They had 64 matches nominated out of the 1,067. So we've discussed 9 matches before on the podcast. This is also our last match from Budokan Hall, which is our most featured venue. And I believe
overall?
It was the most featured on the podcast. And I think it was also the most nominated venue.
Interesting. Okay.
Because bear in mind, you've got All Japan at its peak, plus New Japan in its 2018 to 2020 peak is also running Budokan more as well. and you've got Noah running Budokan, so it adds up. So in terms of nominations, Mr. Kobashi is at the top with 26. This is his ninth match we're covering. He has the joint second most nominations of any wrestler on the project.
Hang on, does that mean that Kobashi was in every single All Japan match we covered? No, because there's the Misawa Kawada singles.
Yep.
And there was a Tenryu match as well.
Kobashi was in six of the All Japan matches we covered, because he has two Noah matches and the Ring of Honor match.
That's right. That's why I'm getting mixed up. Okay, yeah. Makes
sense. So Misawa was also in six All Japan matches. He had seven matches we covered on the podcast because that Noah match that he had with Kobashi. He had 22 nominations. This is Kawada's fourth match on the podcast, and he had 19 nominations. This is a mix of wrestlers he was tied with. Steve Austin, The Undertaker, and Nick Jackson.
Your Survivor Series team is...
lucky number 13, because they're joint 13th.
It sounds ridiculous. Is this recency bias going on, or what?
We've talked about this before. It's an interesting mix of nostalgia and recency bias when it comes to a lot of the nominations.
Yeah. Because, I'm as big as an AWU fan. You'll see whenever it's on, I'm literally licking my screen in delight. I love it, right? I really enjoy the vast majority of what they do. But the idea that you've got that list and then it's like, you know, a Jackson. Weird. Yeah. Doesn't seem right. You know, and I think that's, I guess just because it's new. But it's like you'd have, I don't know, fucking Zach Gowan. if it was when everybody was going, wow, look at the stuff he could do with one leg. If you'd have done that, you'd have a load of recency bias and everybody'd be like, you know, voting for him. Mm. Or even Zack Ryder, who was the guy I meant to say.
And look at the stuff he does with one leg.
There you go.
Yeah. Zach Cowan could do his finish.
Christ, I could do his finish.
Not the tangent I expected us to go in at this point.
No.
So, Akira Taue, there are four wrestlers from the All Japan Prime that have more nominations than Akira Taue. That's
okay.
Tenryu, Hansen, Akiyama, and Jumbo all have more nominations than Mr. Taue. Akira Taue had only 10 nominations, and this is only the second time we've covered him on the podcast. So he makes it count.
Yeah. Modge, are you in a position to bring us up to speed as to where we are in All Japan in June 1995? Like, how do we get to this point?
Well, 95 is a bit of a... Because I'm researching, and basically the stuff I'm talking about with 95 is that there's a lot of other stuff going on in All Japan at the time, building up to it. Basically, because it's the year of the Bridge of Dreams show, every promotion ever turns up at the Tokyo Dome, and All Japan outshine New Japan. Then they do a hissy fit and don't let them release the show on tape.
If we were doing must-see shows, that one is on the list.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
The only version that ever came out was someone in the crowd pointed their camcorder at the big screen for 4 hours.
No, there's two versions. There's another version. There's another version. There's one version that's that. There's another version that's basically the pro shot version.
Right.
But the quality's abysmal.
Right, okay. The one I've seen is the camcorder, and that's pretty good quality because it's the Japanese camcorders of 1995, and this dude was able to stand rock steady pointing at this screen.
I love finding a Japanese, like, handheld video of big matches from house shows or just in general, because the quality is so far in advance what you're getting from America at the time. You still get people like standing up and everything, but then you get things like Misawa entering in 92 for a singles match against, like, Doug Furness, and just seeing the pop for Misawa's entrance, and then in the match, everyone's screaming when he's getting kicked in the spine by the angry Canadian. It gives you a different viewpoint of how that stuff kind of works. Yeah. So basically, the story of the match is generally building up to it. Misawa's got a buggered eye. He got kicked, which is filling in a blank over there, I think, because he got kicked right in the face by Kawada in a six-man fairly shortly before this.
Right.
So there's a weak spot there. Kobashi's leg is a real injury done in another six-man about 2 or 3 months before that. Kawada has just beaten Misawa for the first time. I say just, it was like 6 months previously, but you know, all Japan doesn't particularly quickly.
That might as well have been last week, you know, the speed all Japan moves.
It's a bit AWA in that regard. So he's finally managed to beat him, but Masao is still the ace. Kawada, apart from that, has kind of been on a bit of a slump for about 18 months or so. As far as singles matches and just kind of like trying to get up there and be the ace and be the best. And everyone knows the story, like, of they were there at school. One was Misawa was older than him, and there was a bit of rivalry even in like high school wrestling, and it's just carried on and on and on. And some of it is played up for show, and some of it is very real. So it's basically Taue and Kawada are just heartily sick of Misawa by this point. Him being the ace, him constantly winning, and they want to show him up.
Sounds fair.
That's basically where we are.
Yeah, so this is for Misawa and Kobashi's heavyweight tag team title.
Yeah.
Misawa is also the Triple Crown champion at this point.
Yeah.
Thankfully, he didn't wear all his belts out there, or he looked like he would be drowning in horse brasses.
He'd look like
drag himself to the ring.
Muto in that I think it's Weekly Gong cover.
Yes,
that famous one where he is wearing all the belts.
Yes.
Speaking of outrageous visual, Kobashi's bandage is so big. The only one that I've seen bigger was on the Yeti.
I'm also going to have to scour Todokan for Kawada's t-shirt because I really like that. It's got the little cartoon rendering of him.
Yep.
Yeah. Very fun.
Do you know what I want? Did you see the t-shirts all the attendants had?
Yes.
Yeah. They were the most 1995 thing ever.
Yeah. Were they the Superpower Series Tour t-shirts? I didn't quite see.
No, they were white t-shirts that just said All Japan Pro Wrestling on them. And then they had Dayglow triangles and kind of like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Saved by the Bell All Japan edition.
Basically, yeah. And they're incredible. They're the most 1990s things ever, and they've got All Japan on them. Yeah. Why would you not wear it?
Well, like modern All Japan merch, there's a guy called Dan Tamura whose shirt just has the word Dan written on it.
Perfect.
Which is...
I'm going to buy 10 and distribute them to all my friends called Dan.
who's the actor who's got from Alan Partridge who gets Dan shouted at him?
Right. Yeah. You can line them up all in a row and do that, do that gag. So, as we mentioned, Kobashi, our Zach Morris, has a heavily bandaged right thigh and apparently recently discovered hairspray compared to our previous matches we've seen him
in. Yes. Kobashi is a handsome man at this point.
Yes. Yeah. This is, I mean, we've talked on a previous show about like their almost, All Japan's almost experiment with making like, making them idols.
Idols, yeah.
In the All Japan women kind of way.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting for these like big ugly lumps of men.
Yeah.
At least in this match, we're spared all the cuts to the young ladies in the crowd screaming for them, as happened in the six man.
Yeah, that wasn't like a 1991 early kind of 90s kind of experiment. Yeah. But yeah, fashion's changed. Kobashi's hair goes floof.
Yes.
Misawa... I mean, he needs it for padding for head drops.
Yeah, there you go. Distract from his leg bandage.
Yes. That thing might as well just say kick me here on it, as we'll get into. So Taue and Kobashi start off. They exchange some little test chops, and then there's a quick 1960s James Bond karate fight breaking out as Kobashi blocks this big overhand Taue chop and retaliates with one to the side of the neck. I actually had to look up when Austin Powers came out because like this reminded me so much of that. They do a little bit of rope running, ending with Kobashi dodging a leaping boot and pressing the reset button. Kobashi fights the hardest I think I've ever seen anyone fight just to reverse an arm wringer.
Yes.
And as soon as he completes it, Taue flat boots him on the bandaged thigh to force the break. And
Taue here's the thing everyone forgets. Taue's a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not the biggest one in this match.
No. But not, he's not because... Yeah, but Taue is more sneaky. Taue
I don't
cheats.
Think of that man that big being no, sneaky.
I don't know. It's like how I can creep up on you. But Taue... Toei is like basically does illegal things all the time. Kawada doesn't do things that are technically wrong. He does things that are morally wrong.
We'll get into this more. It's kind of what we talked about in the Can-Ams match. The Can-Ams technically weren't heels. They were unsportsmanlike, which is what Kawada is throughout a lot of this match.
Yeah.
The crowd aren't happy about this. Kobashi's not happy about having his leg stamped on.
Kobashi has this "you motherfucker" look on his face.
He does that a lot during this match. Another lockup. Kobashi pushes Taue into a neutral corner for the chop in, but gets reversed to the opposite side, rushed, and face planted into the mat. Big reaction for Kawada tagging in, but Kobashi is like, this team obviously is not to be trusted, and won't even let him get to the lockup. He cuts him off with kicks and chops before they make contact. Kawada holds the ropes to prevent a whip, gets his own chops in, and when Kobashi reverses his whip, runs straight at Misawa and kicks him off the apron. Yes. I pissed myself.
Yes. I'm going to use this momentum. You know what? I'm going to stop fighting it. I'm just going to change my plan. I will just hit the guy who I hate most in the world when he's just like looking out at the crowd.
It's not just that. It tells Kobashi he is the lesser one. I don't want to fight you. I want to fight the champion.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to fight Big Brother, not the minion. Yeah.
And this just starts the whole theme for this match, which is people getting more and more angry, not just escalation of moves, escalation of everyone getting pissed off. Mm. And it's just pure pissed off, petty carnage for 40 minutes.
Yeah. So Kobashi he can't believe he's done this. And he gives him a very similar "watch it, you little shit" point as Brett gives Owen in their match.
Yes.
And his reaction is great. He keeps going back and looking over the ropes and checking on Misawa on the floor, and then coming back to Kawada with like, "what the fuck were you doing? I thought we were friends." Yes. He looks so disappointed in him.
Yeah.
And I also howled at the commentator's low, like he was playing with a toy car on the desk in front of him.
There's a couple of these like low growl ones later.
I think we've all noticed the big one.
Misawa tags in and he's selling like he took this kick right in the eye, and he wants a piece of Kawada. They trade rapid strikes. Misawa hits a heavy drop kick. Kawada comes back with the Yakuza kick. They block each other's big moves, and then Kawada ducks a spin kick, runs right over to the red corner, and boots Kobashi off the apron too.
He's brilliant.
You can't not love it. You can't.
Kobashi is fuming. Taue comes in to protect his partner, and Wada has to get in between them and calm a few tempers and separate everybody. Yeah. The champs take over on Taue for a bit, who there is one chop that Kobashi gives him and he pulls an incredible face. For one episode, I wish this was a video podcast so we could all do our impression of it. It's so funny. Kobashi hits an impressive delayed suplex on Taue, who is a massive human, and pops him in an abdominal stretch. When he gets out, Misawa tags in, sends Taue to the floor, and does his dive fake out routine. And while Taue is standing around watching all this, Kobashi just comes off the apron to the side of him and squashes him with a shoulder block.
Yeah, but then the best bit is Kawada thinks, okay, this is my opportunity to take up Misawa, and Misawa just has it scouted and just floors him.
Yes. Single forearm, put me in mind of John Cena flattening Johnny Ace at Money in the Bank.
Yeah, a magnificent sense of anticipation and misdirection. It completely changes what you expect, and it's glorious.
Yeah, it's straight from when he kicks himself back. He kicks himself back up to his feet after the dive. He literally just turns, I don't know, three quarters of the way and just elbows him off the apron.
Yeah.
It's the full fat rope flip, go backwards, and then backwards roll to a reverse kip up. It's the full Misawa. Yeah. And then he immediately, because I was expecting him to be blindsided, because I haven't seen this match in a while, I was expecting him to be blindsided, but no, because he counted it, so he's keeping his eye on everything. He's not going to be kind of blindsided again in that way.
Yeah, I think that fake out routine is two flicks of the taunt stick in VPW 2.
Yep.
Got to time it right.
Yes, it is. You do. And it's in, oh God, what's it called? The Dreamcast one.
Giant Gram 3.
Giant Gram 2000, whatever you call it. You've got to do an input for the run, an input to cancel the tope to do the rope flip, and then an input, and then a third one to do the kind of the backwards roll.
Perfect. Back inside, Taue avoids a middle rope shoulder tackle and tags out. Kawada now gives no shits what anyone thinks of him.
Yeah.
Goes straight for Kobashi's injured leg.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the old adage, a bandage is a target, and Kawada kicks the fuck out of that target.
The best, there's a bit where he's just getting his leg stomped on. Every stomp, this is like that thing about Buddy Landell taking 100 punches in 30 seconds off of Jerry Lawler and selling each one individually. Because he gets his leg kicked and he sells every kick a little different. He's standing, he gets kicked, his leg wobbles, kicked again, down to kind of one knee, and then down and down and down with every kick. It's glorious stuff. It really is.
The selling from Kobashi and the expression and reaction from Kobashi is like, he's wrestling almost completely different style. So he is probably 30% more exaggerated than everyone else in the match in terms of expressions. But it works perfectly for him because he is the youngest of the four. He's the passionate young guy that's trying to work a little harder to be at the level of his seniors. Mm-hmm. And he's not fucking happy.
No. He gets a knee drop across the bandaged hamstring, which is what gets the other I'm playing with a car along it's the... Yes, I know, right?
This commentary disapproves of what he sees.
Yes. Yep. And then... the hold he has put on his leg is immense. He is upside down on his shoulders and Kawada steps through between the legs and is essentially hyperextending the leg, like he's putting an armbar type grip on the leg. Yeah. It's brilliant. Brian Danielson is going to see this and bring this back.
Oh, yeah. This is the kind of thing you'd see from a Brian Danielson. It's not just the kind of, right, I'm going to just kick it or I'm just going to put in a half crab or anything like that. And again, later on, Kawada in his moveset has got the half crab while he stamps on your head thing that he did a bunch. But that's not there yet. So instead, he's doing cool stuff like this.
Yeah. When Tawei tags in, he's on board with the dirty tactics, stomping on the leg, locking on a scorpion deathlock. When the challengers tag again, Kobashi tries to fight back and Kawada humors him for a couple of rounds of chops and then just kicks the shit out of his leg.
Yeah.
Finally, Kobashi bops Tawei in the face when he goes for a knee crusher and manages to stagger back into a tag.
Is this the bit, or is this later, where he's punching Tawei directly in the face to try to get him with a closed fist?
No, this is just a single little smack on the forehead to the same way you bop a dog on the nose to stop it chewing the sofa or whatever.
Fair enough.
Misawa comes in, runs wild on Tawei with elbows. When he goes for Kawada, he smartly drops off the apron. And Misawa's like, fine. Goes back to Tawei, but gets a whip reversed and then holds the rope to stop his momentum, runs to the corner and bashes Kawada off the apron anyway. It's beautiful. There's quite a thick vein of character comedy that runs through this match. It seems like Misawa has got everything calmed down by putting Tawei in a Boston Crab, but Kawada, calm as you like, strolls in. And I didn't know about the six-man match, so I just wrote, he Akira Maeda's him in the eye with a kick.
Yeah, I am convinced that's also kind of a thing that everyone in Japan knows about who's watching it.
Yes,
and because everyone is outraged.
Yeah, so two things. So Misawa rolls outside, Kobashi hobbles into the ring, and after the initial reaction, the crowd goes quiet, like they can't believe that he would do that.
Yes.
The other thing is, I think this is the first time in an All Japan match, especially one we've covered on this show, that it appeared somebody actually pulled a strike. He didn't kick him anywhere as hard as he could have. And we've previously said, if your spot in an All Japan match is you're taking three elbows and a brain buster, you are taking those at full force. There's no pulling of any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He could have blasted him full force a la Maeda, but he didn't. He sort of taps him across the eye region. He was given Kawada's form anyway, he was very gentle with this.
Yeah, there was enough for it to work.
Yes.
Yep.
But not enough for it to look phony.
Yeah, not enough for it, but not an inch more kind of thing. It was exactly the amount. Yeah. Any more, he was worried he wouldn't have won damage. Any less, it would have looked fake.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It wouldn't have gotten the reaction it got from everybody.
Yeah, any side of this mark, he would have been getting fired.
Yeah, basically.
But they covered for that a little bit later when Kawada gets Misawa in the corner, because it's magnificent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He just tees away, and you've got
Shohei
Wada just desperately trying to break it up, gets thrown away.
Wada gets thrown across the ring.
Yeah,
Misawa
to that as well.
Yeah.
Because you don't throw referees, you don't throw Wada, you don't throw Higuchi.
If you went to throw Higuchi, he'd fall apart.
No, Higuchi got thrown quite a bit by all the foreign heels in the 80s, right? And 70s and 80s. And then it kind of stopped when they brought this kind of, because everything ended in a double count out and just chaos.
Yeah.
And then when they did in 1991, the clean finish policy came in, and they were, and they're like, right, we're having actual finishes. So the referees stopped getting brutalized. So this referee getting hurt, like pushed across the ring. He's not hurled per se. He doesn't go sailing through the ropes.
No. He doesn't bump off it or anything.
No. But it gets a big reaction because people haven't seen this kind of thing for a few years. So it gets a bigger, it gets a big kind of gasp from the crowd there.
Yeah. Misawa eventually starts like blocking all these blows he's getting in the corner, and he stands up and fights back. But Taue comes in for the distraction, allowing Kawada to get another face kick in. Taue puts the claw on Misawa.
Yeah.
Kobashi attacks Kawada, and when Taue feels the claw has done enough damage, discards Misawa, turns and drop kicks Kobashi's bad leg out from under him.
But it's like the claw, it's like, I just described, it's a face slam. It's not a choke slam, it's a face slam. He just grabs him by the face.
He does that a lot.
I love Taue's got like escalation of choke slams. He's got the little one where he'll just grab your throat and kind of push you down.
Mm.
And then he's got his choke slam, and then he's got his super choke slam, of which more later.
Mm. We'll get to all of them.
He's got levels.
Yes. Misawa tries to fight both heels. I'm going to just outright call them heels now, because they are.
Because it's what they are. Yeah.
But they both overwhelm him. Kobashi goes to Taue, but gets his leg kicked out again. And then Taue grabs Misawa by the throat and hurls him backwards onto Kobashi's leg.
Oh, it's brilliant.
I love that.
Yep. And then while Wada is remonstrating with Taue, who has gone back to his corner, Kawada is the sneaky one, gets up on the middle rope and lands a heavy middle rope knee drop on the leg. Yeah. This whole section is so good.
It's pure chaotic shithousery from the heels. Yeah. It's magnificent.
So Kobashi rolls out to the floor screaming in pain, and Misawa is going to have to go it alone. Kawada almost beheads him with a spinning back kick, but he kicks out. So he puts a hold on him that's mostly just driving the point of the elbow into the eye.
Yeah.
There is nothing sportsmanlike about this whatsoever.
It's not a million miles away from Misawa's own face stock that he does.
Well, so that comes up in a second. Taue then comes in and gets booed for hitting the snake eyes.
Yes.
And they're like, boo, fuck you, we hate Kevin Nash.
that is the reason.
And Kawada puts Misawa in his own seated twisting face lock, but makes sure he has his forearm grinding across the eye sockets. And all Misawa can do is butt shuffle across the ring until he can break the plane of the ropes with his foot to get the break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the outside, this is like A story and B story going on now.
Yeah.
So Misawa's fighting in the ring, and we cut to outside where Kobashi's seconds are rebandaging the leg. On the inside, Taue is dropping Misawa with a hooking lariat right across the throat.
Yep.
And then he picks him up for a delayed atomic drop, but instead of doing the arse on the knee bit, just throws him forwards.
Oh, like the height is incredible.
It's like it's a double team and he's throwing him into a senton, only there's nobody there to land on.
Yeah, there's a name for that move and I can't remember what it's called.
I can't remember it either.
There's definitely a name because later on he turns that into a choke slam halfway through.
Yes. Yeah.
That's not the Chichibu. Oh yeah, no, that's the Origa Taue.
That's the Origa Taue. I'm not sure what the Chichibu cement is.
That was like a brainbuster into a choke slam, I think.
That's that one. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but they're like late era now Noah kind of escalations of his choke slam. This is, but no, I forget what the name of this move is. It's great. It's like the X-Plex. It looks a lot more vicious than it is, although I'm sure it's no fun, but it looks like they're falling from a great height because of the way the other person is, if you know what the giver is,
and
if you know what I mean.
As we've pointed out, Taue's big.
Yeah.
Like, he is in the pillars because he's the one that looks like Bubba.
Yes.
Kobashi makes it up onto one knee, leaning on the apron, and Kawada tags in, walks past Misawa, and just kicks him in the head to put him down again.
I'm just going to use the word magnificent just multiple times for this entire match. It just makes me chuckle in glee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So an elbow fight breaks out between Misawa and Kawada, and Kawada snuffs it out early with a beast of a lariat.
Oh, yeah, it's top-notch.
He gets Misawa in a position for that deadly folding powerbomb we've seen on many All Japan episodes, but here comes Kobashi to try and break it up. He manages one chop before Taue bundles him outside, and Kawada doesn't do the folding pin off the powerbomb. He just throws it, like, almost last ride style, just throws him through the air instead.
Yeah, he kind of pushes him forward, and he just sails forward and then lands. It's like I did not
expect that the first time, because it's like, because we, the last Kawada versus Misawa match that we covered, which was the 6394 match, I made the point that that Kawada was so lacking in confidence that he would only cover Misawa on that folding powerbomb, because in his head, any time, any distance, Misawa's going to kick out. Here, he's so confident. He's thrown him halfway across the bloody ring with his powerbomb.
Taue does the knee crusher on the barrier outside, while inside, Kawada locks in the stretch plum. Kobashi again rolls in to help, but Taue keeps him keeps hitting him in the face with high kicks.
Yeah.
But when Taue backs off to run the ropes to get a bigger one, Kobashi drops him with a lariat. With the greatest look of, I am going to get you, motherfucker, Kobashi pounds away on Kawada's head to get him to break the hold. And then when he comes up to fight, they drop each other with simultaneous lariats.
Yeah. And we're not saying wail away with, like, forearms.
No, Kobashi just
punching
is him in
punching.
The head.
This is Kobashi has been driven to punching people.
Yes.
Kobashi fires up, clenches the fist. It's a no-ki. That's what this is. Because he shows his clenched fist to the crowd and then just lays in very Anoki style 1970s closed fists. This is what I've been driven to. I've been driven to just punch you in the face.
I've got to use this guy shit to get you to break this hold.
Yeah, I have to do Enochism.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing in the world, but it's got to be done.
Yeah, he went out buying red scarves afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Orange one, surely. We are back to Misawa and Kawada being legal. And every time Kawada grabs Misawa, he breaks free and smashes him in the face with a forearm. Kawada catches the spin kick, but Misawa brings up the other foot to deck him.
Yes.
Kobashi tags in, and he is going to punish this little fuck.
Yeah.
But after taking a battering, Kawada does a sting-like no-sell and posture up off a chop. So he's whipped into the ropes, and as he runs back, he takes the chop and just runs through it, goes and does a muscle pose and goes straight
that
back.
That reminded me of Shingo more than anyone else.
Yes, you're right. You're dead right, yes.
And I would say that part of this is probably because, like, with the delay cells that Kawada does at various points, you can see that kind of Junichiro Tenryu through line with Kawada, with Ishii, and with Shingo Takagi. They've all got that Tenryu, having worked with Tenryu at various points early in their career.
Mm.
Yeah.
So Kobashi weathers this assault on the leg, going for his own hamstring kicks when he can. He catches a kick and does the what I call previously the lumberjack with a blunt axe routine on Kawada's neck, where he's going back and forth to either side, just chopping away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when he's done with that, just punches him in the jaw. Taue's not getting off easy either. He gets clubbed off the apron, but Kawada sweeps Kobashi's legs and makes the tag. Kobashi drop kicks Taue's knee and traps him in the corner with chops. And after a few, Taue, like, choke pushes him down, but that strike to the knee is stopping him coming out after him. The commentators call Kobashi a zombie as he powers up and goes right back at it. And again, Taue choke pushes him down, and this time is able to follow up with a standing face kick and a jumping face kick. They go off to the opposite corner, where Kobashi weathers a series of, I'm going to call them, quite silly looking rapid fire brain chops. Like, again, it's James Bond kung fu, and comes back.
Yeah, Taue's chops.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
But they're stupid.
they are.
Kobashi comes back with his own choke push. Taue ducks the lariat and throws Kobashi back into the corner, but eats a foot when he rushes in. And then Kobashi floors the pair of them with a running neck breaker drop lariat for a two count. Misawa comes in for what is essentially a double team tiger driver.
Yep. And they got booed.
Really?
They got small boots. They got small, not massive like, boos.
Boo, this movie's silly.
They got like small boos for being unsportsmanlike. It's like, what have you seen? What's been happening to these two? Give them leeway.
Isn't Misawa trying to do the Tiger Driver, can't do it, and so Kobashi comes in to help him with it? Is that not how that works?
No. So it's like they butterfly an arm each and yeah. link their hands. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're one either side of Kawada and then pick him up and do it that way.
Yeah, I understand that. But I thought that just before he came in, I thought Misawa tried something, couldn't quite do it because he was broken. And so the other one comes in to help.
This match is 43 minutes long. I've taken enough fucking notes. I'm not writing everything.
All right, fine. Yeah. I'm not going to notice anything from now on.
Kobashi was the legal man at this point, I will say.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Really?
We're all wrong.
Yeah.
Right. The champs double up on Kawada and send him out. Kobashi slams Tawe and goes up for the moonsault, but quick as a flash, Kawada is on the apron to kick him off the corner with a Gamangiri. Tawe and Kobashi get up. Kobashi fires off a thrust kick into Tawe's throat and makes the tag. Misawa hammers Tawe with elbows and the trademark diving spinning lariat.
How did he make that look stiff? Because it looked fucking stiff.
It did. When Tawe blocks a Tiger Driver, Misawa drops him with another elbow and Kawada gets one too when he runs in. Tawe then kicks out of what I've been calling the down and B Tiger Driver, but gets clamped in the face lock. It's not the finish, the Tiger Driver. It's like the small version.
But I'm pretty sure in Fire Pro it is down and B for the actual Tiger Driver.
My reference point is VPW 2, where I also think it's down and B.
Yeah,
strong grapple down and B.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. Kawada breaks this up, gets more elbows, and then Kobashi pops up onto the apron and grabs him in a sleeper over the ropes. And you get this great wide shot of that sleeper over the ropes going on, and then in the middle of the ring, Misawa has put the face lock back on Tawe.
Yeah.
And honestly, for the first time, it looks like the champions are properly in control and might stand a chance of winning. It has taken half an hour for them to get to this point.
Yeah.
Kawada, though, elbows out of the sleeper and kicks Kobashi off the apron. He attacks Misawa again, who breaks the hold to defend himself. Tawe gets a shot in from the mat, and as Misawa turns around to deal with him, Kawada snaps off a dangerous backdrop, and the champion's upper hand is all gone.
So when Kawada hits Misawa in the back to release that hold, the spray of sweat is incredible. It just goes halfway across the ring.
Back titty missed. Kawada drags himself back to his corner and leans over for a tag, and just as it looks like he's going to get it, Kobashi comes steaming in and just headbutts him off into the guardrail. Again, I laughed uproariously. Kobashi gets himself tagged in and gets a two count off a released German suplex on Tawe. He again goes up for the moonsault, but again Kawada is there to put the brakes on that. Like, he's kicking at the thigh and sort of choke slams him off the middle rope. He gets a legal tag, but Kobashi has no interest in taking his own dangerous backdrop, clamping on a preventative headlock, and then twists into a crossbody and cover when Kawada pulls the trigger.
I like that really nice, clear logic amongst sheer carnage.
Yes. He then also ducks a running lariat and hits his own back suplex. For the first time in a high-end All Japan match, I spotted someone calling a spot, as Kobashi can very briefly be seen turning his head and covering his mouth to talk to Kawada as they sell on the mat.
Oh, really?
I've never noticed that before. Kobashi's up first, but Kawada is still trying to kick away at his bad leg from the mat. He won't give up. There's a chop across the neck that puts pay to that nonsense, and he gets slammed into position for the moonsault. But this time, Tawe comes over to make the save. And as he and Kobashi are fighting over the corner, Misawa comes in, slams Kawada again, and makes sure he takes a top rope move by hitting the knee slap frog splash out of the opposite corner.
I love this. It's pure like, well, okay, you two get on doing what you're going to do. I'm going to sort this out.
Yeah.
I've probably said this before, but Misawa's frog splash, he hangs in the air until he doesn't.
Yes. Yes, you're right. I think he hangs in the air, and then when he slaps his knees, that's a button that turns off gravity.
Yeah. It's like he floats over until he's directly above the guy and then just plummets.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I don't know how he does
X
it.
Press X to drop.
Basically, yeah. Yes. It's like he's a claw in like a crane game.
Yeah. But more successful.
Yes.
Not as rigged. So
which
when
is saying
Tawe...
something, because we're talking about pro wrestling.
When Tawe has been dealt with, Kobashi goes up for the moonsault on Kawada again, He starts to get up, but Misawa's like, no, you're fucking taking this. Slams him again, sent on to keep him down, and then Kobashi finally hits the moonsault, and Kawada just about kicks out.
Yeah.
Misawa in, but Kawada gets to the ropes to stop a tiger suplex. He also blocks a tiger driver, but can't escape what I called a proper sack of spuds release German. Taue gets thumped when he comes in, and Kobashi enters to hold him back as Misawa gets the tiger suplex, but can't hold one of the arms. So Kawada is able to kick out as we cross the 35-minute mark. Tiger driver, but Taue breaks up the pin. He also blocks an elbow, chops Misawa in the eye, and hits the Nodawa chokeslam. Kobashi is able to briefly delay a middle rope chokeslam by hammering on Taue's back, but again, Kawada kicks out his bad leg, allowing Taue to complete the move. The crowd are screaming for Misawa, but Kawada blocks a strike, punches him right in the face, and hits the kind of somersault kick I would put in a martial arts film. It's supposed to be like the Liger Koppo kick, but he somehow comes up short and realizes and extends his leg and smacks Misawa right under the jaw with his heel as he goes over.
Brilliant.
Yeah. It's the end of a Jet Li fight scene.
Yeah.
Kobashi comes over to stop Taue flinging Misawa off the apron, but again, Kawada slices his leg with a kick. And with the assistance of an Nzui Lariat, Taue chokeslams Misawa off the apron to the floor. Kobashi crawls over to prevent Misawa from getting more punishment, but Taue just discards him. He's like, screws up the receipt and throws it in the bin, pretty much. throws Misawa back in. Misawa, though, keeps rolling away from Kawada's attempted cover until he's all the way out the other side.
And Kawada's look of desperation as he's scrabbling to try and grab it is magnificent.
Yeah. And then when they get to the floor, he just grabs him, rolls him back in and covers. But Misawa's had enough recovery time and it's only a two count. Misawa blocks a couple of powerbomb attempts and Kobashi crawls into the ring like Dixie Carter hanging onto Hulk Hogan, like grabs hold of his leg to prevent this lift. Taue removes him and chokeslams him. Like, it's almost... like at exactly the same time as Kawada completes the folding powerbomb on Misawa.
Yeah.
But he leans too heavily into the cover and Misawa is able to roll out from under him.
Yeah. You don't know whether it's that he unbalanced himself or whether Misawa actually kicked out. It's that kind of close.
Yes. Misawa is able to backdrop out of another powerbomb attempt. And when Kawada gets back up, slightly feebly does that opening of a lucha match sweep of the leg to momentarily knock him down again. Kawada's not staying down, though, and just starts stomping on his throat. Kobashi crawls on top to take the blows for his partner, but Kawada doesn't care and just kicks the shit out of him as well. He doesn't care if he's kicking the bad leg or anything else. He's just going to kick him.
Yeah, this is at the point where in my notes, I just said... Holy Demon Army just said, fuck it, dragged him off and hit the chokeslam back suplex to get rid of him.
Yeah, so it takes no small amount of struggle, but yes, they peel him off. And the move is called the Sekigun Special 95.
I didn't know that. That's great.
It's devastating looking. It's a combined chokeslam and backdrop suplex that some beefy tag team needs to bring back.
Yeah.
I mean, Mudge, do you like the Greedy Souls?
I do like the Greedy Souls. They're great.
Do you think they should do this move?
I think they should. I'm pretty sure I'm seeing two matches from them next week. I'll tell them.
Yeah. This will be right up their alley, I think.
Yeah.
Take a little clip of this to just put under Brendan's nose.
Because you've got the tall one. And it works perfectly for me. got it.
Misawa manages to get in a flurry on Taue, but he's not the legal challenger, and Kawada just wipes him out with a leaping gamangiri. Wada runs over like Misawa is KO'd and is as surprised as anybody when he kicks out of the subsequent pin. Misawa hits a desperation elbow and takes one step crawl towards his corner, but realizes just as you do, there's nobody there to tag.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's just that little bit of the last hope that Misawa had is gone.
It's hope and instinct. Because he doesn't realize that his partner is in the ring and down on the other side. Kawada whips him over with another dangerous backdrop, but he just about kicks out. Another leaping gamangiri has a commentator yelling, good kick in English.
Is this the leaping gamangiri to the face?
Yes.
Yes.
Because that's what the gammon is.
Yeah. I thought that was back at the, anyway.
Enzoi is the mandula oblongata at the back, and your gammon is your face.
That's right.
And your giri is your kick, obviously.
There you go.
And one more maximum effort folding powerbomb scores a pin at 42-37 as they cut to the wide shot, and Kobashi is heroically but fruitlessly trying to crawl over to break it up while Taue is hanging on to his leg. What a brilliant visual.
There's not a bad bit of this match. I love everything about it. It's there's other little bits. There's bits where Misawa's up on the southeast buckle, and someone's trying to throw him off, and someone else wants, and he's protecting his eye as with one hand and trying to fight people off with his other hand at about like 35 minutes in. There's what was it, Kobashi martyring himself twice. It's everyone's just so good in this, even Taue.
So I just got what you said. Yes, yeah. Kobashi is like, I'm a champion and I cannot fail. I cannot fail my partner, who is the big champion. Yeah, who is bigger brother in this situation?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah,
and he's like, right. He's taken more of a kicking than I have. I know he's missed out, but he needs some protection here. I will absorb these blows with my back, and then they start kicking him in the back of the head.
Mark, your first time watching this, how do you feel?
I don't know if you guys have noticed, ever since we got on to just describing the match, I've been smiling the whole damn
time. This is the happiest I've seen you in weeks.
We did Brett versus Owen last week, and that was a match that I appreciated and studied, and I enjoyed the details, but it never really engaged me. It just felt a little dry and passionless for me because I didn't have the connection that a lot of people that watched it at the time had. This sucked me in almost from the get-go. And it is such... Kieran has joked that my happy place is Japanese men beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah. It really is.
And it is. It really is. I can't lie. This is just the sheer aggression, the chaotic energy, the pettiness. It's pure emotions, but all the emotions are just rage. I'm buzzing again. Just so much energy, so much. I mean, this is the one All Japan match that has literally felt the closest to falling off the rails because of the story and because of the personality. It's the kind of... It's not falling off the rails because the wrestlers have fallen out and basically someone's being a dick. It's falling off the rails because that's what the story is. It's about...
It's falling off the rails because none of them can fight any less hard than they are fighting.
Yeah. Wada is doing his best to try and keep this on track in terms of one in, one out, but he knows it's futile because they're all bigger than him and they'll beat the shit out of him.
I think it gets to the point where he's like, as long as I can remember which two are legal, I'll just count them and the other two can do what they like.
Wada is very much Lance Russell.
What a comparison, but yes, I can see it.
Yeah, it's like, and everyone is
come
like,
on now, Jerry.
Everyone has such a... It's so good in this. Taue is great as that heel. And I love that there's a point in this where Taue is the guy that is getting worked on by the faces because he doesn't know the counter to Misawa's moves and Kawada does.
Right.
So it's the idea that the faces get the advantage because Taue hasn't learned his lessons. And by the end, Taue is learning his lessons. So it's got that little through line. It's got Misawa with this fire and determination and fighting through the adversity of getting kicked in the eye. Kobashi is magnificent in everything. He's got pathos. He's got fire. He's got determination. His leg, I mean, I don't think it's selling. His leg is fucked, but he's but that is constant. He's got those elements of trying to save Misawa, the constant going... It's so good. And then you've got Kawada, who is quite frankly a step above everyone else. He is the dick to end all dicks in professional wrestling.
Yeah. He is the measuring stick for just, I don't know, there's early, like there's Tenryu in Noah being the grumpy old man, which is probably the best version of the grumpy old man that I've seen. Kawada, just might not being that old, is very much
he's middle-aged. He's peak middle-aged grumpy.
Middle-aged and grumpy. And so
but age, again, 28?
Yeah, exactly. But
I just described him in my notes as an absolute world-class prick. And that is it. To sum it up, because I've kind of been rambling in just joy, it's magnificent. It's
31. He was 31. Sorry.
It's magnificent. It's got a little bit of everything. It's got the story. It's got the personality. It's got the clash. It's got the action. But really, I think to sum this up, it's just pure, joyous, chaotic energy. It's just, I just can't really describe it. It just makes me feel something that only pro wrestling can make me feel.
Perfect.
God, wow. That's a line.
I too had never seen this before, and I was completely absorbed. Like, what a compelling match this is. Told a great story, great action, creativity, the same vein of logical through line that we attributed to Bret and Owen last week, and excellent character work. Everybody has a defined character and gets to show it off. This was the Kawada show, though. What a magnificent prick. He didn't give a shit if anyone liked him. This was his night to win those tag belts, no matter what. I think I'm going to give this the must-see stamp because I think tag team wrestlers could learn a lot from it. Mm-hmm. Here's a way to do babyface versus heel tag wrestling that is not the formula Southern Tag.
Yeah.
As soon as they did the spot with Misawa getting thrown onto Kobashi's leg, I knew I was watching something special. I'm actually struggling as to whether I like this or the Can-Am tag more.
They're very different matches.
They are. But if I don't like this more, it's a very close second. Mm. I will certainly be watching this again.
Yeah,
I'm very happy to have my head turned by it. And 30 years after I first saw him wrestle, I now have a favorite Misawa match.
There you go. Yeah.
If I had seen this earlier on, the chances are I would be more into 90s All Japan.
Yeah. Well, there's still time.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's not going away, is it?
No.
The 90s are over.
One of the things behind the curtain for me is when I'm done watching a match, usually I will delete it from my hard drive because it's like, okay, enjoyed it. There's very few that I keep. The Thunder Queen battle is kept.
Yeah.
There's Kawada versus Misawa 94 is kept.
Mm.
This is staying on my hard drive.
This gave me similar vibes, but not to the same extent as Thunder Queen battle. Mm. Like, this is another of it. Thunder Queen battle trumps all when it comes to happy discoveries on this podcast.
Yeah.
But this is on that list as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very surprised and very happy at how much I enjoyed watching this match.
Yeah. And I think as well, this is what, 42 and a bit minutes.
Yeah.
So the whole file together with the post-match and everything is like 50, yeah, yeah. It's 55 something minutes,
yeah.
With the intros and all that. And it's again, and I'm like, I'm as big of a booster of the style as you're going to find. And even I'm like, you know what? I'd rather have a look and see if I can find some gold in a 10 minute undercard match rather than devoting an hour of an evening. Yeah. And so but you, when you do clear time to watch them, and you've got the head to be able to kind of absorb yourself in it and kind of commit to kind of watching it properly rather than letting it wash over you, it's worth doing. And sometimes there's matches that aren't worth doing, but this one in particular, and a lot of these big long old Japan matches, they reward the time invested in it. And I'm just happy that, like, you know, but even, you know, because you can get intimidated by length. I think you specifically have been intimidated by length before.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was waiting for the joke.
only on occasional Saturday nights.
There you
this
go.
This got 5 stars in the Observer, is currently 9.75 on Cage Match. In the Observer Awards, this came only 7th in Match of the Year.
What the fuck were they
and
smoking?
And these two teams had a match in January that was ranked higher than this one.
Yeah. There's a playlist, if I may just interrupt. There's a playlist on YouTube of like 8 matches between these two teams.
Mm-hmm.
And going from basically the early 90s to the late 90s. Mm. And this is like 3rd from the end, I think. So there are more, and there are previous.
Yeah.
So there's no reason not to watch that playlist.
Yeah. Misawa was Wrestler of the Year. Kobashi was sixth. Kawada was seventh. Those three were also in the top 10 for most outstanding. Misawa and Kobashi were Tag Team of the Year, and Kawada and Tawe were third behind things that do not age well, Public Enemy.
Oh! 1995, everybody.
Indeed. Moish, do you have any more flowers to throw at this match? Anything else you want to say? Anything we've missed?
Oh, watch it again. And when you watch it again, watch it a third time. Because it's what I did. I wasn't expecting to watch it three times. I watch things once. I watch things a second time and then looking for different stuff. I do a bunch of research and that's about it. The only other thing I'll say that I do know about this match is that there was somebody sent a message to one of a letter. A fan sent a letter to one of the, I want to say, probably Weekly Pro, so, basically saying, Misawa, you've got a, you need to calm down because you've got a broken eye. You need to protect it. You need to take time off. At the very least, you need to let us know that you're hurt so we can, you know, basically telling him to sell more. right?
Yeah.
And he replies and say, well, what's the point in showing everyone that it hurts? What's the point in complaining about it? Once you decide to have a match, there's no point in protecting your eye. If it can be stopped by saying it hurts, I'd say it hurts 100 times, but it doesn't. It's the most kind of like, why bother complaining about stuff you can't fix now? reply ever.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it's very clear at that point that the whole Misawa, you know, this is me. I'm not going to show any kind of, weakness unless I really, really have to kind of thing. That was part of his makeup as a person, as well as a wrestler.
Mm.
So that's a nice little kind of, peek behind the curtain.
Tremendous.
I just want to quickly pipe in.
Yep.
You know the meme with the guy behind a window with a grin on his face with a shirt that says sicko?
The sickos
yes,
meme,
yes.
That is how I felt watching this match.
And if anybody wants to recreate that and put it on Twitter, I'm all for it. Moish, thank you so much for joining us again today. It's been a pleasure to have you back. Let people know where you can be found on the internet if you want to be found and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm basically just Twitter at the minute, or X. I keep meaning to move somewhere less fascist, and I just never have. I figure that if I leave Twitter, I'll lose all my friends. Lose touch with all my friends, as you say. So it's Twitter at 3KidneysModge, all words, no spaces. And that's basically me.
Awesome stuff. As for this show, you can go to linktr.ee/mustseematches for all ways to subscribe, links to the full list of nominations, and much more. We are at mustseematches on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky. We have a Discord, bit.ly/mustseematchesdiscord. I am at Kieran Edits on Twitter, and Mark is...
at @monkey_buckles.
If you're not bored of hearing me, you can listen to the latest episode of Graps and Claps, where I help the Ogdens and our friend Gadge and my brother review the Revolution Pro Wrestling Revolution Rumble, which was, as we record this, yesterday. That's a great time. Goes GCP Podcast 1. Andy Ogden and I have another show, along with Eddie Sideburns. Every month, Nothing and Like It chronicles the UK's Frontier Wrestling Alliance's adventures on television, including, quite soon, the stuff that I made. You can find everything to do with that at linktr.ee/fwapod, and episode 6 is out now. Next week, one final trip to WCW. Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Eddie Guerrero, mask versus title from Halloween Havoc 1997. And joining us will be two men who very much know their late 90s WCW, as Lee and Dave, the Days of Thunder Boys, return. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.